We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Espo back to tell you about our friends at DraftKings, and basketball season won't be around forever. So get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at $1 million. That's right, $1 million in total prizes. Claim your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when you use the code TBPN during sign-up. That's code TBPN. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see your team stack up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, assist mean so much more when you're playing DraftKings daily fantasy. It is unbelievable how much more you enjoy a random Kings Clippers game on a Wednesday evening or a Nets-Knicks matchup, whatever you're watching. I mean, it could be even worse. It could be like the Magic in somebody, like the Magic in Rockets. It makes it more fun to play with DraftKings daily fantasy sports and their fantasy lineup for basketball. So download the DraftKings app now and use the code TBPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. The code TBPN and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Tonight's matchup on the solar panel, Espo versus the Solar Fox versus Carmel Thunder.
Hello and welcome everybody to another solar panel here, whether you're watching us live on YouTube, listening to us wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Google, anywhere you get them, you can hear us. And we are more than happy to have you, the Flaming Ballers, along with us. Saul threw me off because my name was Dave King there on the video. So I threw off the intro a little bit because
it's been so long since Dave has been here that I completely forgot he should always be on the right side.
Hey, you know, I'll just be honest. Being named Dave King for a few minutes just shook me. But as always, to my right, he's the man, the myth, the legend, the Silver Fox. Dave, welcome back. Great to have you.
Okay, cool, hey, Dave.
I am excited to be back. I'm so excited to be back. Sorry, guys.
Are you you're on super delay or what? What's going on here?
I don't know. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. You're fine. Dave's just ignoring us.
It's like I totally forgot. No, sorry. I was trying to get us. Never mind.
Are you trying to close the tabs on your porn right now? Is that what's going
on? Yeah, that's it.
We haven't even started drinking yet, and this thing's already off.
You gotta talk about the shock. I mean, the shock right now is your face, Espo. What the hell is going on?
Let me introduce you first. He is the Carmel Thunder from Down Under. Saul Bookman, and yes, let's get to my face. For those of you watching on YouTube, I am clean shaven, and that is a big deal because I don't think I've been clean shaven in 2 years, if I remember correctly. It's been a long while, and my daughter does not like it, but that's fine because I did it for a good cause. We're doing playoff beers, gentlemen. And if you want to be in on it, I want you to send a picture using the hashtag SunsPlayoffBeards of you clean shaven now. And then let's see how long we can grow these things throughout the playoffs. The last time I did this in 2010, I looked like a caveman by the end because they went, obviously, it's game six of the Western Conference Finals. And if I don't shave for that long, I look crazy like a wilderness man. And that is fine. I want to do that. I want to ride this out in the playoffs. So if you want to do it along with me, the guys on the show, anybody, use hashtag SunsPlayoffBeards. Let's see him.
Have you ever been confused with a wilderness man? I'm trying to put that image in my head, straighten that one out.
When I do not shave at all, I do not trim or clean up the beard. Yes, I look.
You can manscape every other place. You don't have. It's just the beard that's growing out, right?
Nobody else is seeing any of those other places other than my wife. All right, so.
Sasquatch here. Okay.
Yeah, look here. You will see.
Espo put himself in for the smooth baller of the week right now as we speak.
If only you knew. If only you all knew.
You did just. He did just come back from a vacation. Anyway, guys.
Yeah.
Playoffs. Go ahead, Espo. Get us back on track.
You want to see? First off, yes, I do look like Kellen Olsen without a beard. So let's get that out of the way. As well.
Nice.
But look, let's talk about it. The season is over. It officially ended a few minutes ago. All the games are complete. The Suns are the number two seed in the West. And where we sat back in October when we were talking about this team, October, November time period, we certainly did not predict the number two seed. Even the most optimistic of us. So say Jay, one of our flaming ballers in the chat and host of Fanning the Flames. He said the number one seed. So I don't think anybody got it right at all. Yeah, I don't think anybody had this team as the number two seed.
Even Justin was wrong. I mean, yeah. So says Jay was wrong. Dead wrong. Yep.
I don't think anybody had him.
You got to own up to this, man.
So unbelievable season. Let's get that out of the way right off the top. This was one hell of a ride. They ended it in fun fashion with beating San Antonio 2 days in a row, one of which was for lack of a better term, a complete ass kicking. And then the Suns sat all their starters. They played McHale a few minutes to keep his streak going. But you look at it and even with the bench playing, they come through and they win that final game. Etuan Moore playing unbelievable, comes up big with that final shot.
Jalen Smith playing awesome.
Yeah, Jalen Smith playing great. Look, overall, I could not be happier with this season. But Dave, let's start with you. What was what was your takeaway? 51 wins, number two seed in the West. How are you feeling?
Yeah, my takeaway is stop lamenting of one loss that gets it, because the Suns finished one loss short of winning the top seed. The only reason you care about the top seed is because the Lakers are Golden State are likely the opponent in the first round if you're in the second seed. But stop worrying about the one or two or three losses you are lamenting, going, oh, if they only hadn't lost that. They won 51 games. The Suns did everything they could possibly do to win every game. No other team won. Utah won 52. No other team won more than 52 games this year. So you can't sit there and worry about the one or the two or the three losses. Just be happy where the Suns are. And like Chris Paul said on Friday, you got to play everybody. You got to go through everybody to get to the finals.
Dude, I wholeheartedly agree. Listen, there is going to be plenty of time past Tuesday to really stress about who they're about to play. We all assume it's going to be the Lakers. We can get to that later. For right now, dude, fellas, everybody, Suns fans, 51 wins.
4-1 out.
51 wins. No, dude, there's just no way we all thought that was going to happen. I had 43 at the beginning of the season. Like, it wasn't even close.
I had
45.
I was the optimistic one of the group.
just enjoy it. Jesus, yeah. Just enjoy it. Because, right. Listen, it could very well have been another 40 or 34 win season or a 30 win season, but we're not there. We're not there. We are a completely different team right now. 51 wins. Even if they lose in the first round to the Lakers, it's 51 wins, and you took a huge step back towards relevancy. That's the main. That's the important part right now, is that you took a step back to relevancy. The Phoenix Suns are relevant again, and that's what we all wanted to see, dude, prior to the season.
This is a big step to relevance. It's like a drone picked them up and put them at the top of the ladder. So this is a huge step. No, the Suns are definitely back. The Suns are back as a threat against any team in the league.
Look, I know that Pacific Division championships and division championships in general don't mean a lot anymore. They've been devalued in their meaning, but you play in a division with the last six Western Conference champions, plus the Clippers are in your division. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, the Kings are there too. Whatever, everybody needs a bottom feeder, but I don't think you can overlook the competition in your division that you finished ahead of. The Lakers, yeah. The Warriors, the Clippers. You sit at the top of that Pacific Division. You have the second best record in the NBA. You're allowed to enjoy that and applaud that for at least a few days. That's the nice thing about this play-in situation, is the fact that, you now get a week before the playoffs start. You can kind of celebrate it. You can look back and go, as fans, as a team, you shouldn't be doing it. That'd be detrimental. But as fans, you can look back and go, this was one hell of a ride. This was probably one of my favorite seasons in Suns history because it was so unexpected and it went so well, right? And regardless of who you face in the first round, this was a special season.
That can't be taken away. People are just, you gotta stop doing this to yourselves. Listen, hey, the curse of Arizona sports, right? Everybody's going to say it. If we play the Lakers, everybody's going to be like, of course we would finish number two overall. And of course the Lakers would finish seventh. Like, that's just the way it all unfolded. But you know what? Who gives a shit? Who cares? Who cares? We're the number two seed. And you had to play LA, either one of those LA teams. You had to get through one of them to get to the NBA Finals. Why not knock it out in round one? Who cares? Let me give you the positive part of all this. If they beat the Lakers in round one, who the hell's beating them? Who the hell's beating the Suns? I mean, you talk about confidence at an all-time high. This team could go anywhere from that point, even the NBA Finals and a World Championship. So, hey, it's going to be all right. We got plenty of time to worry about that crap. Right now, it's about what this team has accomplished, and it's been fantastic.
And I think Chris Paul said it earlier this week. It may have been after the game on TNT the other night where, hey, the West has always been tough. You're going to have to go through tough teams if you want to get where your ultimate goal is. So Who the hell cares, right? I highly believe that some people are like, oh, maybe they're playing strategically to try to figure out where they can land. No, this team was just playing to win. Yeah, they lost a few games back to back. It wasn't ideal, but this team was playing to win. They weren't trying to outthink and outmaneuver people. They were just saying, we're going out and we're going to win.
The only thing you can take care of is your own backyard, and they did that every single game.
I mean, this season they did everything they could, and they didn't get a little help tonight from the Kings, who could have helped them wind up being the one seed or whatever the case may be, but you're sitting second best record in the league. None of us, we're gonna say that and expect that. And I joked a couple episodes ago when they had clinched the playoffs that it's emotional. It's just, it's great to feel, hey, the Suns are back and relevant. We're about to feel in this town. We're about to be reminded why this has always been a Suns town. Playoffs are something different. The fact that there's going to be 10,000 plus fans in that arena for the first game of a playoff series in the last 10 years is going to be special. It's going to be crazy in that building. This is exciting, and I can't wait to see what happens. Look, it's a weird combination of emotions because it's been so long since they've been in the playoffs. I don't exactly remember what it's like. You know, I'm trying to think, and you know, it's that odd, like, excitement and nausea. It's like the big roller coaster that you go on for the first time. I remember it kind of feeling like that, but I'm thrilled. Let's get excited. Let's feel the ups and the downs. Let's feel the drama of what a playoff series is again. And we're going to live and die by every moment of it because we always have here in Phoenix, and that's exciting.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. You still got, I'm just watching through the comments in here, and I'm just not going to get brought down by some of these comments. It's just, there's people in there trying to troll us, trying to get us worked up. Look, man, here's the deal. I am not, could the Lakers beat the Suns? Of course. Will the Lakers beat the Suns? Probably, if the Lakers are healthy. But they haven't been healthy, and the Suns, they haven't played the Suns. They haven't played healthy against the Suns all year, so we don't know what's going to happen. But why don't we enjoy it while we can? And when the Suns do play the Lakers, every single game will be a unique situation where they're going to be – look, you guys talked about it on the last pod, I think, where you're talking about matchups and things like that. And I've heard a lot of other podcasts and radio shows around talking about matchups. Look, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are really great players. They really are. But you know what? So are Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And who's shutting those guys down? You know, the thing is, there's only so many shots to go around. And it's who hits the best shots, the biggest shots at the end of the game. And Chris Paul is one of the best clutch players in the history of the league. So I'm looking forward to watching these guys play against the defending world champs. I don't care what round. Might as well do it now. Because you got to beat them at some point. I don't think it matters when. It might be even better early against the Lakers because of those guys trying to round themselves into shape. But I'm looking forward to it. That doesn't mean I think 100% the Suns are going to win and blow them out or 20 points every game. But I am looking forward to the series, and I think it's a toss up on who wins.
I mean, we're also assuming that the Lakers are going to get past the Warriors, exactly. And the way Steph Curry is playing right now. I wouldn't put anything past him. That dude is on a mission for whatever reason this season. It's like people forgot that he's the greatest shooter of all time. I don't think that's a debate. And honestly, like, there's also a little part of me that's like, do I want to see Steph in the first round? Because he's equally just as dangerous as the other guys, you know? So
I would not want to be the Lakers in a one-game situation because Steph single-handedly can tip a one-game situation, right? Like, he can drop 50 and change the whole complexion of a playing game. But in a seven-game series, I don't think he has enough help. That's why I'd rather face Steph coming out of the play-in than the Lakers, you know, is the way I look at it. But look, you're going to have to play whoever you have to play. Wednesday night is going to be very intriguing. I think the game's 7 o'clock Arizona time on ESPN, Lakers and Warriors. The NBA got exactly what it wanted. It got high drama through the end of the season and a one game play-in that's going to be insane. You know, that the second game is probably a foregone conclusion. I don't think Memphis or San Antonio is going to knock off whoever loses in the Warriors.
Just don't know in a one game scenario. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, they've given us what happens in the tournament, right? Yeah. In the NBA now, because that's why Cinderella's happen in the NCAA tournament. Because you're not playing five or seven games; you're playing one, and anything can happen in that situation. And that's why this is exciting. Going into Wednesday and Friday, a lot on the line. Wednesday will determine who the Suns face. The winner of the Lakers-Warriors game is who will be the seventh seed. So we'll know Wednesday who the Suns are facing, but we won't know till Friday who the Jazz are facing, which is very, very interesting to me.
Do we even know what day the Suns play on yet?
We don't yet.
Not yet. Well, I'm going to assume the Suns will play on Saturday.
Yeah, I would too, because they're not going to play the Jazz.
They can't play
the Jazz on Saturday, because whoever wins that second play-in game isn't going to play back-to-back. They're not going to fly overnight and start a series. Yeah,
but there's so many series that are starting Saturday and Sunday. You could conceivably have the one and the two both play on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it depends on if it's Suns-Lakers.
They typically space them out anyway. So I think both one seeds in both conferences will play on Sunday, and both two seeds in both conferences will play on Saturday.
Generally, yeah. So, and that's probably how it's going to happen. And I wonder how late they're going to wait to post, because they're going to want to put the Lakers in prime time. Will they want to put Golden State in prime time? Maybe not as much. So they might be deciding even the time of day waiting until the Lakers Golden State game.
Yeah,
Golden State Utah is, I mean, that would be fun to watch. I'm not gonna lie.
It'd be fun to watch. I think as you guys were saying earlier, Steph is a one man band on that team. Draymond Green's a really good player, but he's not gonna swing a series for you. He never was the guy who was going to swing a series for you. He's really, really good. But they're short a horse or two there. So I think they're an easy – they're a six-game out. Is that considered an easy out anymore, six-game out, five-game out?
Yeah.
They're
not getting swept. I don't think anybody's going to sweep.
Right.
Sweep the Warriors. But to your question about when we'll find out, my guess is late Wednesday night after that first playing game is complete, or early Thursday morning. They want to know, is it the Lakers? If it's the Lakers, it's getting the primetime game on Saturday. If it's not, it'll go in an earlier time. I think all that's being determined is that specifically. So we should know relatively quickly how the schedule will play out for this team. So I guess we've moved into the seeding. You look at it, it sounds like you both feel it's a foregone conclusion that it's the Lakers. Am I correct?
I think it's a really good chance it's the Lakers.
Yeah, I think it's a good chance, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I think, like I said, in a one-game scenario, I'm not going to count out Steph.
The reason I keep harping on the Lakers is because that's the team everyone's most worried about, for good reason. A healthy LeBron and Anthony Davis are unlikely to lose a series. So it doesn't mean they won't lose a series, but they're unlikely to. Everybody else seems pretty beatable in the first round.
The best thing for the NBA is the Lakers to get bounced, like right off the bat. Not ratings-wise, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But the best thing for the NBA is for the Lakers to get bounced and absolutely get eliminated in both these games, because then it doesn't encourage teams to just sit your stars for half the damn season.
Okay. The best thing for the competitive advantage of the NBA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. So, but for ratings, oh my God.
Yeah. Well,
we may see a play-in game get the highest ratings of the playoffs if that
happens. Oh, I think we will. I think the play-in game for a one-game scenario, I think that play-in game is going to have more ratings, higher ratings than maybe even the NBA finals, depending on who they play.
Yeah, sure. No, I agree, because it's a winner take all situation. It's why game sevens are so well watched and so exciting, because all the pressure is right there. I think that's going to be a huge ratings success for the NBA. And LeBron tweaked his ankle again tonight. I don't know how that impacts
that thing. Right?
Was LeBron or AD?
LeBron.
I thought AD hurt his ankle too.
Well, LeBron retweaked the ankle.
They've both been dealing with the
and bothering him. So
I'm not going to be playing the violin any fucking time soon. I'll tell you that much. Drop it.
Drop that money for the swear for kids.
It was LeBron re-injuring it tonight. AD's been still struggling with leg issues overall, saying he's been hurting but playing through it. LeBron went out again today.
Which makes Wednesday that much more interesting, because
if
the Lakers aren't close to full strength, if LeBron isn't 100% and Steph can pull a rabbit out of his hat again, this could be the Warriors win by a point, but it doesn't matter. It's not like the old BCS where you got to win by a certain amount to gain points. You're not gaining style points. Steph can win a game like that for them, and that changes the complexion of everything.
I'm already a big Steph Curry stan. I've always been
even more.
If he somehow beats the Lakers, I will streak down my neighborhood.
Yeah, we don't want to see that, man.
The ladies wouldn't mind seeing that.
Baby.
Some people like the jiggle and the wiggle.
Oh. I think it's only your fiance that would.
I'm thinking when I hear this is Will Ferrell. We're going streaking in the quad.
I've already committed to doing the Warriors flag lady dance, that gif. I've already committed to recreating that on the show Steph beats the Lakers as well. So there's a few things on the line here that for people. I'm excited to watch it. Of seeing that first Suns game, I'm super excited to see Wednesday's game. And I've been one of those people that have been pounding the table. I don't want to see the Lakers in round one, right? And I think a lot of that has to do with the past. You never want to face the defending champs. You don't want to face two stars. But I think a lot of it comes from the past and those wounds from facing the Lakers in the playoffs and the Lakers always being the big brother. But it dawned on me earlier this week, Long John Silver 85 says I look like Peter Griffin in the chat. Thank you for that.
Hello. I've already seen this face naked. I don't need any more naked.
Hey, Lois, check us out.
I realized earlier this week that there is one benefit to facing the Lakers in the first round, regardless of if win or lose, whatever, a whole new generation of Suns fans is going to be introduced as to why some of us older fans hate the Lakers so damn much, because inevitably Lakers fans will get into those home games. Lakers fans will be ridiculously annoying more so than ever on Twitter and in chats like this. You're going to learn how to loathe Lakers and their fans so much if it becomes a Lakers Suns first round series. And there's something positive about that, because the more people you can get that hate the Lakers, the better world it is. You know, that's a belief I carry.
Look, obviously the Lakers are talented, and we're spending a lot of time talking about the Lakers. We could be talking about Golden State a little bit more as well. But with the Lakers, here's the thing you guys got, we all have to remember. I'm not saying anyone's forgetting it, but I think we are very vastly underplaying this. The Suns have the home court advantage. The Suns are home for the first two games of this series. All you got to do is get that lead, and you keep the home court advantage. And the Suns have not shown any fear of any big stages this year, so I don't see them having any fear of any big stage here against the Lakers either, or against the Warriors, whatever it is. You get that advantage at home. The crowd at home, I know you're worried about Lakers fans getting in, Espo, but I have never seen this many Suns jerseys. And since I've been to these home games recently, and you get 10,000 fans in there, that's been confirmed, 10,000 fans per game, which is at basically every other seat, plus the suites and all that. There is still going to be a vast majority Suns fans. Yes, there will be some Laker fans in there, but it isn't like the recent years where Suns fans are burned out and they're so bored of this and blah, blah, blah. These Suns fans are desperate for a playoff game. Obviously, some Laker fans are just going to get some tickets, but the six-man Suns fans get the first dibs on tickets, and those guys need to buy all these tickets. They need to sell out there first before they go to the public where the Lakers fans can get at it, because there aren't any Laker fans six man of the Suns. So it's the six man memberships. Those are the ones who are going to be buying, and they have been buying. I've got a couple of buddies who are six men who were already able to secure their playoff tickets, or told they could. They'd be first to secure their playoff tickets as soon as they become available this next week. Look, that's who's going to rock this stadium, and that's what these players roll with the fans cheering for them. They get so excited, especially because it's been so long since having fans in the stadium. They just rock with these fans, and every single player comments on it. Back in the day, I'd be in the locker room. Did you hear the fans? Blah, blah, blah. Did they cheer you? You know, did they get you going? And the players are always like, no, I'm in my own head. I'm always thinking about the game. I can't really hear the fans. I've got everything locked out. These players love the fan noise. They love the cheers, and they're constantly getting hyped up over it. That's what's going to help carry the Suns in the playoffs is our home fans. I can't wait to see these guys rocking this stadium out.
Consider this a PSA, right? If you were a six-man member and you put any of these tickets on the secondary market, I will personally come over and have beef with you, all right? This is not the time to try to cash in on some of your tickets and sell to Lakers or Warriors.
Oh, well, here's the thing, actually. You know what? Let's talk through this. Nobody's bought anything yet. These are just being made available to six men. So it's really just six men aren't even selling these for more than they paid for them. It's just a matter of are you wanting to buy them? And their regular seats, they're going to be a little more expensive, I'm sure, than regular season seats, but they're not going to be, there's not going to be secondary, third market prices yet. And so six men should be buying these. They haven't already spent the money. They're not selling them to make money on a profit.
Well, I'm saying if you buy them and don't turn around and try to flip them.
Oh, I would be so freaking pissed. Please do not. You know what? People are going to do that. You know what? Oh, Greg, you just ruined my night.
By the way, Rick in the chat says,
men are going to do that.
Rick in the chat says, I hate the Lakers almost as much as I hate Beardless Espo. Thank you for the critique. It has been heard. So I appreciate
it. Nathan Darius in the chat says 125 each. It depends on where the seat is. There's regular season tickets that are much more expensive than that. So you're going to have seats all over the place in price. But yeah, no, if six men go and buy these tickets on Wednesday and then they sell them on the open market and not know that it's the Lakers fan that's buying them, that's on you. And you should be banned from having tickets in this stadium ever again.
You should have to pass a Suns quiz and to get these seats is what I'm saying.
Just immediate answer. Who got a double-double on Sunday for the Suns? And then if they can answer that question, they can buy the tickets.
So say Jay, our friend in the chat, says, you know what grinds Espo's gears? Another Peter Griffin reference. I love this. Hey, Saul, can we throw the bracket back up there, if you don't mind?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I guess I will stop working in my other screen right now.
There you go. Let's stay in the moment. Here, be present.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to do some things for you guys, okay?
I appreciate it.
While producing at the same time. Be two people. Yeah. It's 10,000 people is the capacity. I've mentioned it a couple of times. We could write it down here. 10,000 people is the capacity in the arena for playoff games.
Yeah, it's about 18,000 seats overall. So looking at the playoff bracket here, the interesting thing with the Clippers today falling into that 4 seed, Denver securing the 3 with the Suns in the 2 seed, is on the off chance that Golden State wins, right? Like we've talked about, that puts it, Phoenix Golden State would be the first matchup. Then the Suns would face the winner of Denver and Portland in the second round. So you may not have to face an LA team until the Western Conference Championship.
If you have to at all.
Correct. Depending on how Wednesday's playing game turns out. So this bracket is fairly favorable depending on what that first matchup looks like. So it's not all doom and gloom. It's not all, the sky is falling. I know we're all very focused on the Lakers because that seems like the likely statistical matchup that's going to happen here. But on the off chance Golden State wins, that path to the Western Conference Finals looks a little bit easier than it may have earlier in the week, where everybody thought the Clippers were likely going to be that 3 seed.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Clippers, you know, you just never know what you're going to get with the Clippers. They're like they're like a box of chocolates. Forrest Gump reference right there. But you just don't know where you're going to get the Clippers. You don't even know if they're going to get past Utah. Utah's got the home court advantage. We can't forget about that. Utah is going to be tough to beat at home.
You have to beat them four times. And if it goes seven games, four of those are going to be on the road in Salt Lake. And we all know how much I hate Salt Lake City. So, you know, that's going to be tough. And then Denver, you know, man, you know, what scares me about Denver, though, I will say, is that MPJ is playing pretty good right now. And he is really, he's really helped that squad pick up their game in lieu of Murray being gone. So it's, dude, the Western Conference is deep. It doesn't matter who we're going to play. It's going to be a battle. Even the games that you, even the teams, even if Portland upsets Denver, you know, it's not going to be the same. You got playoff Damian Lillard as opposed to regular season Damian Lillard. And we got a little taste of that in the fourth quarter the other night.
Jeez, 24 and, man, points.
And he was just, he was unstoppable. There was nothing anybody on that court could do. And so you don't know. And you don't know who's going to show up in the playoffs. We haven't seen this Suns team in the playoffs. And for as much as lately down the stretch, I've been like, you know, I don't know what you're going to get from Devin Booker. And almost as, with caution, there's another side of me that's like, yeah, but Devin Booker could just very well take over this whole thing and say, you know what, I'm going to drop 40 a game because I'm going to play that crazy. And then he'll put the whole city on his back, and it could be amazing. That's what's so cool about the playoffs. This is where people make their name. This is how you become a legend. And it's so fun to see our team back in it and doing this again.
So Ildefonso Celis, I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name right. What teams are scared to play us, the Suns, I'm assuming you mean? Now, no one's scared to play us in the YouTube chat. I'll tell you that right now. But if you're talking about who's scared to play the Suns, every freaking team, they are all afraid of the Suns. It's the media. It's us that are not, that are, you know, we just, why would anybody be afraid of us? It's kind of like you never get the girl. Why would any girl want to go out with me? Look, man, they're all afraid of playing the Suns because the Suns have won the season series against most of these teams. And the ones they don't have the season series wins against, which is Denver. Well, that was two overtime games in which the Suns lost players in both overtimes of those games. And the Clippers, which went, you know, with the Clippers, you know, okay, if the Clippers are going to shoot 50% from three, while Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are playing well, great, okay, they might win some games. But to do that 50% for three from the outside to win, they're not going to do that four wins out of seven games. They're just not. So everyone's afraid to play the Suns. They're hoping. What they're doing is they're hoping the Suns come in and fall apart under the pressure of the playoffs. That's what everyone's hoping. Because if this Suns team plays like they've been playing all year, everyone's afraid of them.
Yeah, and as well they should be. I mean, you don't wind up with the second best record in the NBA as a fluke. This is not a fluke. Neither are the Jazz. You don't wind up with the best record in the NBA as a fluke. Now, do the Suns lack playoff experience? Yes. I don't know that that's necessarily something that completely condemns them, though. A lot of people act like that. Other people are like, well, they won't have another gear. We've seen them show another gear.
They don't need another gear if they're winning all their games.
Well, the assumption is everybody else is magically going to flip a switch that they didn't play as well in the regular season. All of a sudden, they're going to take it up two or three notches, which I think is crap in most situations. You know, maybe the Lakers have another level because so many of their guys have been out. Sure, maybe that's
if they can reach that gear, more power to them. But you know what? Like, they're supporting, even if they're playing as well. Sorry, Espo. Even if they're playing as Anthony Davis and LeBron James are totally healthy, their supporting cast is not as good as last year's. And they needed those guys.
And there is nobody in the West, I'm willing to say this, nobody as deep as the Phoenix Suns, right?
No.
You look at it, 1 nobody, through 15, nobody, yep. Nobody is as deep. This team proved it on Sunday against San Antonio yet again, that it doesn't matter how long a guy sat out, he's ready to come in and play for this team. Langston Galloway, Etwan Moore, Jalen Smith, these guys weren't playing hardly any minutes. In Smith and Moore's case, none. And they both came in ready to play when they were called on. That's the thing about the Suns team. In the playoffs, inevitably something happens. Guys foul out late in games. A guy gets injured and is out a game or two. Things happen, And the depth that the Suns have comes in handy because you'll have big moments from guys you don't expect. It happens every playoff season. And the Suns have an entire roster full of guys that have that potential. So
exactly.
Let's
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
No, it's just gears.
Okay, go ahead.
So let's look at a couple things I want to get your opinions on. Are we worried about DeAndre Ayton? Missed the last three games with knee soreness. Do we think it's a big deal, or was that just precautionary to make sure he's ready for the first round? Saul, why don't we start with you?
No, I absolutely think it's precautionary. There's no need to risk it at all. You had Portland, you had the Spurs back to back. There's nothing to play for, really. I don't care what anybody says. You had the two seed pretty much locked up, no matter what. Rest your guys. If Chris Paul had a little, he was dinged up or whatever, they wouldn't have played him. Same thing with Booker. Same thing with anybody. Anything precautionary, they would definitely err on the side of caution. So, no, I'm not worried about that at all.
Yeah, so
a couple of people in the chat have noted when the Suns won on Sunday, and I say Sunday because people will be listening to us tomorrow on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So we got to say what actual day we're talking about. Sunday, DA was running around on the bench on every made shot by the second unit and third unit that was out there. By the end of that game, it was the third unit. It was at 11-15. Guess who came one stat shy of a triple-double on Sunday?
Jalen Smith.
Javon Carter. He had 10 rebounds and 9 assists.
Another guy who had gone missing at certain points this year. Would now, just to be your buried point, the Espo,
these guys are all ready. Frank's ready. Javon's ready. Etwan's ready. Langston's ready. If they're needed, they're probably not even needed, and they can still win a game that the other team wants to win.
Yeah, I agree. I tend to think that the Ayton thing was precautionary. The other thing I've wondered, looking at how this play-in plays on both sides, the East and the West, is it somewhat of a disadvantage for the 1 and 2 seeds to have to sit here and wait to know who they're playing to start preparing? Because your game plan's obviously going to be different depending on who you're playing defensively, those kind of things. So some of these other teams, Clippers, Denver, all those teams get to plan for who they're playing for a week. Suns won't find out till Wednesday. Jazz aren't going to find out till Friday. You don't think it gives any disadvantage, Saul, to that team in preparation?
No, you've already played these guys a million times. I was at the Portland game the other day, and I could hear both teams calling out the plays and calling out what was going on. These teams are well scouted. They know everything that's going to happen before it happens. You just got to execute, and that's all it's about in the playoffs. You just got to execute. You can have a month, and it's not gonna matter from 4 days. It just isn't. So it's gonna be game to game adjustments as opposed to before game one adjustments. All know game ones are kind of like the wild card. If you're gonna steal one on the road, typically you're gonna steal game one because you threw some wrinkle in there or whatever. But that wrinkle, I guarantee you, was not shown during the regular season. That's why it's called a wrinkle. So that's why I think it's not a big deal. Like if Monty Williams can't prepare his team from Wednesday to Saturday, then we got bigger problems than just, who we play on Saturday.
Well, here's the thing though. They're going to spend, and Campaign was talking to me about this, last week or a week before. What Monty's going to spend the week doing is going to be doing some game planning. Yes. In the later part of the week, but in the early part of the week, what he's going to be doing is nailing down, what do you do when they stop your first and second options on a play? What do you do when we call something, when we get into a certain positions on the floor to start the shot clock? What do you do when they stop the first and second favorite things? That's what he's going to be nailing into these guys, because guess what? The other team knows what the Suns do well, just like the Suns know what the other team does well. What the key is who does that third and fourth action best? And that is you get new wrinkles. You get new wrinkles every game, as Saul says. But the basics of how they play, even the easy stuff is not going to be easy anymore.
Yeah, no, I agree. You've got to work on the fundamentals. You're going to have basically a mini training camp going into this with a few days of practice that you have not had the ability to go through recently with as many games in such a short period of time. So the preparation should be there. One non-Suns topic that's semi-Suns related. Earlier this weekend, it was Rudy Tomjanovich going into the...
I feel angry already. Go ahead.
Rudy Tomjanovich went into the NBA Hall of Fame or the Basketball Hall of Fame. And he, as part of his, as part of the ceremony, he said that Robert Horry deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I think this is the most asinine thing I've ever heard. And I don't quite get it. Why? Okay, sure, he has rings. But just because you have rings doesn't mean you're qualified for the NBA Hall of Fame. There's plenty of guys on those Celtics teams from the 60s that played that have a boatload of rings that don't necessarily deserve to be Hall of Famers. I thought this was stupid, but Dave, where did you land on that?
It's just ridiculous. You can't make the Hall of Fame as being a bit player. You just can't do that just because you happen to be on James Jones. Is he going to the Hall of Fame? He's got lots of rings.
As a GM.
Maybe. But he's got lots of rings as a player who played with LeBron. That doesn't mean James Jones should go in the Hall of Fame because he was LeBron's teammate and made some shots. Steve Kerr, should he be in the Hall of Fame as a player?
No. Steve Kerr won 5 championships and averaged 6 points a game. Robert Horry won 7 and averaged 7.
Yeah.
Right. There's no freaking way you need to be in the Hall of Fame as a bit player just because you happen to be on really good teams.
And I would argue that Steve Kerr also won 2 championships, just like people keep claiming that Robert Horry won 2 championships, one for the Spurs and the Lakers, had he not been on those teams. Steve Kerr saved the Spurs against the Dallas Mavericks on the road by hitting 5 threes in like a pivotal fourth quarter. And then, obviously, we know the jump shot against the Utah Jazz. Not that they were going to lose that series anyway, but just throwing that out there because they had MJ. But also, dude, this guy had an average of 7 points a game his entire career. That's basketball Hall of Fame worthy? Really? That's what we're going to do? Also, he averaged 6 points or less in 109 playoff games. 6 points or less in 109 playoff games. I don't give a shit that he hit 3 lucky shots. I don't care. That dude is not basketball Hall of Fame worthy. Somebody needs to go take the weed pen out of Rudy Tomjanovich's pocket and say, dude, you cannot hit this before you talk to a large audience, please, because this is ridiculous. The fact that we're even talking about Robert Horry in the Basketball Hall of Fame, oh my gosh. It's like, I never thought that, anybody could really be president, but here we are in 2021 and really anybody could be president. Why not let anybody get into the damn Basketball Hall of Fame? Apparently that's BS.
So now you want Robert Horry as president. All right. We got that down. Saul for Horry 2024. No, I agree. And I only brought this up because I wanted to see Saul's head explode.
Straight trash.
I didn't even understand where.
There's
where
so it came many from other guys that are worthy of the Hall of Fame.
Yes,
over Robert Horry. You got Sean Kemp, who's not in the Hall of Fame. Sean Kemp was a baller and almost an MVP candidate. Doesn't even get a sniff of the NBA. Like you got guys in house. Tom Chambers, not in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Should he be? He had a legit career. He did more than Robert Horry did. You freaking joke.
Kevin Johnson as well.
Joke.
Yes. So one more just to see if I can pull the ripcord on anybody. Did you guys see Devin Booker's shirt after the the game on Saturday in San Antonio?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the game on Sunday where he looked like he was
no
in South Tucson.
I don't know.
Right. He's definitely looking like South Tucson. He's been rocking that look all year.
I don't question another man's fashion in that way, but his shirt post game in San Antonio on Saturday, he was wearing a Spurs Tim Duncan shirt. Now, 24-year-old me would be in this studio screaming so loud that everybody in my neighborhood would wake up that a Phoenix Sun was wearing a Tim Duncan Spurs t-shirt. I'd be flipping my lid. But in 2021, I go, I don't really have a problem.
Well, you know what? I have no issues with Tim Duncan, ever.
Neither do I.
Tim Duncan beat us almost by himself sometimes. Like, yeah. Tim Duncan's the greatest power forward of all time. He just is. So I have no qualms with that at all.
Neither do I, especially since he's going in the hall.
Let me give you a hot take. We mentioned this. It's not quite so hot because we mentioned this a couple of times this year, but the Suns are basically playing like the Spurs of old. They're just grinding you down until they can beat you. And that is a huge compliment. And so if the Suns can come out on top like the Spurs did for so many years, that would be great.
Hello in the chat wants to know, was he wearing gray sweatpants with the Tim Duncan shirt? If he was, it's all right. Now, look, I felt the same way, but I know a lot of Suns fans took issue with that. And to me, it was a guy showing respect to somebody that he watched in his younger days. Devin Booker doesn't know the pain that the Spurs were to Suns fans back in the early 2000s. So I had absolutely no problem with it. As I get older, I grow to respect more of those Spurs teams as well. So
Dave, do you have a little stat for that or no?
No. I have a stat on something else.
Well, then stat us already.
You guys know
it.
I was ready.
Well, hey, you know we're ready, baby.
Ooh, Dave, stat me.
All right, the Suns finished 51-21 this year. That is the second best record in the NBA. That is the second fastest turnaround in NBA history, from one of the bottom two records in NBA history to one of the bottom two records in the league to one of the top two records in the league. Only two other teams in history have gone faster than that. They've done a turnaround in 1 year. Guess which franchise that was?
I'm gonna go ahead and say the Boston Celtics was one of them.
Yep. Boston Celtics twice. Boston Celtics from 07 to 07-08. That was when they had acquired Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett in the offseason, where they're one of the bottom two that went to the one of the top two, 66 and 16 that year. And then also Boston Celtics back in 78-79.
Before they got Larry Bird. Yeah, they added Larry Bird. Yeah.
Yeah, so you got Larry Bird, you got the Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, and you got Chris Paul. Those are the three difference makers to take you from one of the bottom to the top.
Suns didn't do it in 88-89 from the year before.
It wasn't bottom two to top two.
Oh, okay. But
they weren't even a top two team in 88-89, right? They were like three or four.
Yeah.
Because you had the Lakers and the Trailblazers that were both bosses at that time.
I think
it was a huge turnaround for sure. There's been lots of really good turnarounds. It's just going from totally trash to really great and so fast, just two seasons. It's incredible.
Let's hit our favorite, the best segment of the show. It's time for a new Espo's Big Board, isn't it?
Oh, is it? That's where we're going right now?
I think it is.
Oh, okay.
I say it the same way every time. So.
Well, no, because, we just completely skipped over Manscaped and everything. Like, that's just okay.
I'm saving Manscaped last thing.
It's your damn big board, Espo. Jesus.
Thank you.
After a month away, the big board is back.
The big board is back. I'm a full angry orchard in, so let's have some fun. Right? It is. It's the award season, right? We're going to give away Suns awards for this season. The first one is the Brooks Brothers Award, right? The move that I think catapulted all this into fruition was the move that never happened. The Wizards, Suns, and Grizzlies all blame each other for a trade that one team thought was Marshawn Brooks, another one thought was Dylan Brooks. And in the end, it became no Brooks at all. It was Kelly Oubre coming to the Suns from the Wizards. And without Kelly Oubre, I don't think you wind up with enough capital to wind up with CP3 in this offseason and one of the great turnarounds. So the Brooks Brothers Award, we're giving it to that trade that never happened.
Remember when that all went down, how like everybody was like, oh my God, James Jones doesn't know what he's doing. He can't even get a name right.
Yeah. And Dylan Brooks turned out to be a pretty good player, by the way.
He is a good player. That's why they wanted him.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's that. The next one is the Major Pain Award. This goes to a guy that's just been a major pain in the ass to every team's second unit, and that is Campaign. There's not a guy that I am more happy for this season than Cameron Payne. He was the guy that carried his bubble performance through to this year and has truly been a revelation as the backup point guard. We all pointed to backup point guard and backup center or power forward being the biggest holes on this roster, and Campaign shut that down from a point guard perspective. There is no doubt going into the playoffs that he's the backup and he's the guy that this needs, and he may even be an answer going into the future for the point guard position. So I had to tip my hat to Campaign here. Let's move on to
my favorite shot on the team, just the shot motion on the team, is Campaign's full speed layups where he runs right through, never breaks stride on his way back down the court. Most guys, when they do full speed layups, they end up in the stanchion. Campaign somehow makes his way all the way around.
Yes, Campaign, a great player. Our next award, the Dollar General Award. And I think that's actually the nickname I'm going to give to Torrey Craig. The Suns basically gave up cash, and not a lot of it, to get Torrey Craig on this roster. And he has been a guy that has come up big in numerous situations since they acquired him. I another guy that you have to recognize this year that I don't think the Suns are where they are. I don't think they keep pace with the Jazz like they did without the Dollar General, Torrey Craig. So tip of the hat to Torrey Craig there as well. The next award coming up here is the Reverse the Curse Award. That's going to go to a goat crapping in the former general manager's office. You hear for years that the Cubs were cursed by the curse of the goat. You know, I think the Suns have the reverse here. They bring a goat into the general manager's office. It was the beginning of the end for that regime. But the whole point was you got to go find your goat, right? It was Sarver saying the Suns need their Diana Taurasi. Well, guess what? They had it in Devin Booker all along. He proved it again this season. And I think that he is going to prove it in the playoffs himself. So tip of the hat to the goat that crapped in Ryan McDonough's office, as he was really the catalyst to turn this all around. And our final award, the Bling Ring Award, it goes to, I believe that is DeAndre Ayton's chain, and it got around Crowder's chain. Okay, Jay Crowder's chain. I apologize. I believe D.A. Ward as well at one point this season. This chain got around more than, I'm not even going to make an analogy that's inappropriate. Got around more than somebody that uses their Manscaped on a regular basis. All right. You saw Robert Sarver on the plane rocking
this
the chain.
Not even Photoshopped.
No, this is real. Thought. I wish it was Photoshopped. I take credit for that. And then Frank Kaminsky wore it in post game. So that is your Bling Ring Award. That chain is the superstar of the season as it gets around. And it wouldn't be shocking to me if it shows up again in the playoffs. So those are my season awards in Espo's Big Board.
Nice job. I like the fact that you brought back the Big Board. It's been gone for a little while. I appreciate it very much.
We will continue to bring it up in the playoffs, depending on how these series go. They could get a little dark if we dip into those referees doing weird things in the playoffs. But it is time for our Smoothballer of the Week Award. Yeah,
I lost it. I got to find it. So just
talk about some other stuff or something. Right, I don't know.
You were telling him the Manscaped stuff.
I know, but then I lost it and because he threw me all off, and now I got to go find it again because I don't know where the hell I put it on my
computer. Hey, why don't you talk about our live shows coming up, Espo?
We can talk about that. We've got live shows for the playoffs wherever, whenever these games take place. We will be showing up at the Chupacabra Tap Room in Mesa. We're joining forces with our friends John and Matthew over on Suns Jam Session. We're going to do combined post-game shows after each playoff game. You got that right. We're going to be here with you. You are welcome to come out and join us. Enjoy an adult beverage or a water. I don't care what you drink. Just come out and join us at the Chupacabra Tap Room in Mesa. We will be out there every game, hanging out, going live with our friends at Suns Jam Session. We're going to be doing it both on their page and ours. Please join us for that. We're going to have some fun, and we may even invite some of the other Suns podcasters out there to hang out with us as well. So that'll be fun coming up after every Suns playoff game, and maybe we'll do something on Wednesday as well. After we, not at the Chupacabra Tap Room, but maybe we'll do something on Wednesday once we know how that play-in game goes as well. Excited to partner with those guys. I'm sure we have frustrated a few of our other Suns fan podcast friends out there, but I'm looking forward to joining forces with Voida and Lissy. They are a staple after games, and we thought it would just be a fun way.
Hey, I love how Sosa Jay and Dervish of World, Justin and Paul, called into the jam session after the Suns game the other night from the stadium, looking like they had a beverage or two when they got on there. And I welcome those guys. You guys share the StreamYard link with them. I welcome those guys to call in to the live post-game shows from the arena.
And Dave will be joining us live from the arena for any home game that's going on, because Dave is still pretending to be a reporter, even though he's associated.
Hey, I am not missing playoff games. I tell you that.
So we will. We're going to have some fun with all of this. We've all waited long enough, so we should be be there and enjoying it together as a group now that we can. C-Buck in the chat says, "Stat me, Dave, wet t-shirt contest at the Chupacabra." I don't want to see Dave in a wet t-shirt ever. So just so you're aware, but maybe we can make a stat me, Dave t-shirt for some fans out there. Do we have our Manscaped?
We do. We do.
Baller of the week. Let's hop to that right now.
I gotcha. Here we go.
Maybe we do.
And I lost it.
Awesome. And he lost it.
I can't wait for this. Here we go.
It's the smooth baller of the week. Got Bush. Not if you got Manscaped. That's damn right. It's true. James Jones, our smooth baller, I'm going to say, of the season. The Suns finished with a 51-21 record. He stole Torrey Craig. He landed CP3. James Jones, in my book, is 1,000% the executive of the year in the NBA, and he may even get a chance to knock off his best friend LeBron James in round one. Why not? James Jones, major props to you. If you don't want to look like you are a freaking Greg Popovich after a pandemic down low, get Manscaped. All right, head to manscaped.com and you can get 20% off and free shipping using the code FLAMINGBALLERS. That's right, Flaming Ballers for 20% off and free shipping. You know, don't look like the reverse Cam Johnson. Get those bad boys nice and smooth for your lady friend so you can make sure she's happy, so you can come join us at the Chupacabra Tap Room and watch some Suns playoff games. So that is our smooth baller of the week. Again, thank you to our friends at Manscaped who sponsor that every show for us. So, gentlemen, we've come to the end of another episode of the Solar Panel, a evening Sunday edition, an odd time for us, but
we should probably say that since we are going to, are we still going to do Saturday show in the morning, you guys?
I think as long as there's not a game that day, we might as well.
If there is, what I'm saying, if there's a game that day, yeah.
We'll keep you posted.
We might do maybe we'll get a guest to help us do a preview or something like that.
There you go.
Game one.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll also maybe figure out something for Wednesday after we know exactly who the Suns will be playing, a little live reaction to that play-in game. But yeah, keep tuned on the Twitter account and other places where you stay in touch with us. Any of our individual Twitter accounts will keep you up to date on when we're going to do our next show. So for Dave King, the Silver Fox, and the Carmel Thunder from Down Under, I am Greg Esposito. Espo, we'll talk to you next time here on the Solar Panel. Ahoy, ahoy.
Barkley, 20-footer, yes! Over the tie! Oh! Gorher, turnaround, shot in the air! It's good! Oh, 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 oh! What? Finds the ball, Barkley puts it up, does it count?